Words from our gospel lesson, St. Luke chapter 10. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "In who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Good Samaritan parable is one of the best-known parables of the Bible. In its obvious and literal sense, it is the answer to that lawyer's question, "And who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? Anyone and everyone in need who can make a just demand in my compassion is my neighbor. And in its allegorical sense, the Good Samaritan parable shows the whole Christian redemption story, where Christ our Lord is the real Good Samaritan, the robbers are the devil and his demons, and the man on the road is Adam, a representative of the whole human race. It is important for us, therefore, to understand both senses of this parable, the literal sense and the allegorical sense. I want to focus here right now on the literal sense of the parable and its implications. Now, as with many of his parables, our Lord fills the parables with particular details which are very familiar to his listeners' lives. In this case, it's the designation of the road where the disaster takes place. It's the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jesus' listeners would have immediately recognized that this route was indeed a place of extreme danger. It was notorious for its banditry and highway robbery. People would have had their own reservoir of horror stories that they had heard. Those who traveled that route, they would seek safety in numbers. Go with an armed caravan of people. At least then you have a chance. And certainly, anyone foolish or desperate enough to be out alone on that road could only expect to meet the fate of this unfortunate man, who was stripped naked, beaten, and then left to die by the side of the road. And as we are aware, for many people in our world today, this kind of extreme insecurity from violent crime, it's just a fact of life where they are. Now, Christ describes three individuals who pass by on this same road. Presumably, they themselves are not as unprotected as was the man who was waylaid by the robbers. Of the three, one is a Jewish priest, the other is a Levite, who was an assistant to the priest in the temple. And the third is a Samaritan traveler. A Samaritan, part of that community which was in deep-seated mutual hostility with the Jews. Now, the priest and the Levite, they had important duties in the worship of the Jewish temple at Jerusalem. They had to be constantly alert to keep themselves from falling into ritual impurity, because if they did, they became unfit for their sacred service, at least for a time. For example, if the priest or the Levite came into physical contact with a corpse, they became ritually impure. Therefore, these two men, seeing the body there, they act according to their duty to keep themselves ritually pure. They very much did what they thought was pleasing to God. The Samaritan, however, he acts out of humanity. He stops, first of all, to see if this man is alive or dead. And he does what is in his power to do for the man, putting him upon his own beast of burden to pay for his care at an inn. Which of these three, in thy opinion, Jesus asked the lawyer, was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? And he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Now, was this Good Samaritan heroic for what he did? I submit to you that he was not. He was not heroic. What he did was he did his human duty by another man. He did the decent thing. He was touched by their common humanity. Miep Gies was a woman in Holland. She came to Holland as an Austrian refugee after World War I and was taken in by a Dutch foster family and stayed there, lived her life there. But she was working in the firm where Otto Frank, a German Jewish refugee to Holland, also was working. And in July of 1942, when the Nazi occupiers of Holland were rounding up all of the country's Jews to deport them to an unknown fate somewhere in the east of Hitler's conquered territories, which, as we know now, was a place of terrible mass murder and extermination. When that was happening, Miep and several colleagues, they banded together and helped to hide Otto Frank and his family, along with four other Jews, and they did so in a secret annex of their office building. And for 2 years, this woman, Miep, and others, they protected the Jews in hiding until the Jewish hiding place was betrayed. And after the Nazis had taken away their captives, Miep preserved the notebook kept by Otto Frank's younger daughter, Anne. And this notebook the world knows now as the famous Diary of Anne Frank. Miep Gies lived a long life. She died at the age of 100 years in 2010. She received a great many accolades for her wartime role in protecting the Franks for as long as she was able to. But she was very resistant to being called a heroine for what she had done. It was offensive to her. It angered her to be called heroic. She insisted that she was not a heroine because, as she saw it, she only did what any decent person would have done in her place. And in her talks to Dutch school children, she would tell them, "Doing your human duty doesn't make you a hero." Point of fact, given the mortal danger to herself and given how ruthless the Nazis were in their attempt to exterminate the Jews and to punish anyone who was trying to help them, what Miep Gies did was in fact an heroic act of charity. But from the point of view of her own conscience, she was right in her thinking. Having developed in her life to that point, to 1942, such a strong moral sense of doing your human duty by others, of doing the decent thing, of only doing what any decent person would do here. In the face of an extremely dangerous situation, she acted well and rightly. Which leads me to my concluding thought. It is so very important for us to develop the strong moral sense of the rights of others and of our human duty by others, just in the ordinary course of our life. Because Christian charity builds upon that foundation of humanity, that foundation of doing your human duty, of being humane, of doing what any decent person would do in such a circumstance. It may be that we end up being called to perform acts of Christian charity to an heroic degree, an heroic degree at some point in our life. But even if we never are called to be tested at that high level, we must get in the habit, day in and day out, of doing our human duty by others, of being that neighbor to our neighbor, just as the Lord Jesus would have us do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.